יש דברים שלא תמיד באים בקלות. בפעם הראשונה שפניתי למיסטר פטריק ון יובן, גיליתי קצת חשדנות כלפי התקשורת בעיקר אני מניח, אבל לאט לאט הבנתי שיש פה בן אדם שלא מעוניין את המידע להסתכל אחורה, אלא פניו קדימה אל היעדים הבאים שלו. ובשיחה הפתוחה הזו עם פטריק ון יובן, אנחנו נדבר בעיקר על הדרך שבה הוא רואה את הכדורגל, הדברים שהוא רוצה להשיג בכדורגל, ואיך הוא מסתכל על הכדורגל הישראלי, ובכלל על הספורט הזה, מכל האספקטים, המקצועיים, הטכניים, האישיים, וכן הלאה. מיסטר ון יובן, פטריק, הלו.
היי, גוד מורנינג.
How do you feel?
Yeah, I'm perfect.
You're perfect?
Yeah.
You've been in Israel since 2016, right?
Yes, correct, yeah.
Have you adjust yourself to the Israeli mentality?
Well, not to the Israeli mentality, but to the Israeli climate and the people, yes.
You like it?
I'm enjoying myself what was before in work and also outside of work. I'm enjoying myself and the country has a lot to offer. So these are the things that I'm enjoying and which I'm trying to see all of it.
We will touch Israel later in this talk, but I want to ask you, as someone that was educated in the Netherlands, you've been a manager there, you've been through a lot of clubs and managers you worked with. How do you see, or how do you build a winning team?
Well, to say how do you build a winning team always depends on what kind of players you have. What type of players you have? Does your team consist of high quality players with a lot of skill, or does your team consist of less talented players and that you have to focus more on the team qualities than on the individual qualities? And in every phase of my coaching or manager development, I've had to take care of or one team as a coach or multiple teams as a manager that you are trying to build in a similar way. But more or less every team by itself is depending on the quality that's inside. In youth football, it's depending on the number of quality players that you have or that you still can scout. And in the first team, yeah, you're depending on the transfer windows, when to get them and when you are able to influence the team. A winning team, the factors of quality, the factors of tactical plan, the factors of luck, and of course not having bad luck in terms of injuries or a bad spell in games. But these are the things a little bit that influence if you are successful. But I think in both situations, what makes it successful is if you have a plan, if you have an idea what you want to reach with the team and with the individual players within it. Because for me, first and most important is the team. Only from a good team, we can have the individual development, because then players can or accelerate with their specific qualities or keep a high level let's say they're, I don't want to say average, but the qualities that yes. team players have, yes. let's say it like that.
I've been, I think it was 2 years ago, in a lecture of a Sporting Lisbon, a youth manager, and he talked about the fact that they have more service people that take care of the youth children there than managers. People that take care of their economic situation, food, education, things like that. You've been in Feyenoord Academy. What do you see is the most important thing in developing youth players?
Well, I don't want to compare with Feyenoord because that was more than 15 years ago that yes. I was there. So there's also a huge development going on in terms of the development of players, but also facilities. What I'm always trying to look at is what is available. And first of all, when you come into a club, it's about improving the football part. So you're trying to organize the team, you're trying to organize the coaches so that everybody starts working in the same direction. Because at the end, we want to develop players for a first team. And I think that that is the starting point. And then you see everything that is around, the opportunities that are around. Can you improve the player more by, let's say, off-field activities in mental coaching, in video analysis, but also in let's say, assistance in real-life things of okay, what subjects there are. Here in Israel, for example, we did some activities with English lessons because I think also when you are involving foreign coaches, it's important to communicate. And it's not always easy when you're focusing on football also yes. to study another language, to be more clear. And this is the thing that only after you implement your football thoughts, you start looking at the extra activities that you can organize to develop players, which can be improving the person behind the player.
Do you think it's important for a young player to play in other sports, like, I don't know, tennis, basketball, things like that?
Well, I think that is a little bit, I don't want to say old school, but nowadays when children focus on one sport, be it football, be it basketball, or be it gymnastics, they're focusing most of their free time on this sport. So I think doing something else, me as a football manager in youth football at that time, was always hoping that the school would take care of it, that they still would have some attention on different sports and the development of rules of volleyball or basketball.
Yes.
And that it gives them a feeling from the other side. But most of the time, to be honest, we try to use the hours for playing football, for trying to improve the person and also to make the person aware of that he's part of a team.
I want to ask you, we had in Israel, exceptly in the networks, Facebook and things like that, there is some question about the system that managers choose to play with. Let's say, for example, Guardiola. He always play 4-3-3. At the same, he does some experiments, but the base is 4-3-3. We can see it mostly on even in Xavi, Jurgen Klopp, Erik ten Hag. Do you prefer to play in one system, or do you come to a team and say, okay, this is the players, and I will change the system according to my players?
Well, I think that you need a certain structure in a game. So that means that you have to make a choice before you start working, because that system, that formation also influences the way you want to train, because you need to have a direction. And I think if you give a player too many different directions, they start using what is good for them and not what is good for the team. So my preference is also to start from 1-4-3-3. And this system, this formation gives you a lot of opportunities to change. So these are the things that you do as a coach according to qualities in your team or the weaknesses of another team, that you make an adjustment in your way of playing to get an advantage in the upcoming game. And this is also something you're trying to train. I'm a fan of 4-3-3, 1-4-3-3, because we have a goalkeeper.
Yes, no one says that, the 1-4-3-3.
No, okay, but this is something we are taught in the Netherlands.
Is it important to you to have a goalkeeper that knows how to handle the ball with his feet?
You need players that understand the system and the style that you would like to play. So that's also that every player, every line, from goalkeeper to defenders to midfielders, attackers, has their tasks in football and their tasks in the key moments that are important in attacking, attacking to defending, 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 attacking, and the set pieces. So I think it's important that, as I said in the beginning, that players and coaches are thinking in the same direction, with the same goal in mind of being the best team and being the best player on the field. So yes, the goalkeeper needs to be able to be part of that style. Otherwise, we have a bad start when we have possession of the ball.
Yeah, you don't have a harmony in the team.
That's what it's about. Well, not about harmony, but you need to have a good first pass. And if the goalkeeper needs to start a certain percentage of the attacks, then you prefer him to have those qualities also. So that is part also of the goalkeeper philosophy to be able to play football.
So you believe in building the game from the back, short passes, rotation between the players. Xavi calls it a positional play, the method of Johan Cruyff. It is something that you take as the milestone of your team?
Well, I think that to really say that you are using in Holland, a lot of children grow up in the 4-3-3 system. They play. If they become a coach, that is also the preferred system from where they start. In youth football, you can say that it's a system formation that gives a lot of opportunities for children to develop in defense, in attack, in being part of the game. Even if it's in a defensive line, you are able to attack. It's a perfect way of being taught to play football. Personally, I also believe that when growing up in this system, that at the end, and that's what I'm trying to teach coaches when I'm working with them, is that within one system, you can teach children a lot. And at the end, personal qualities or personal vision of the player makes him stand out or makes him a good team player. But they will know everything. They will know how to react. They will know how to read the situation. And this is what it's about. One player is able to read situations quicker, and another player is able to recognize situations from training them. And this is something that I try to achieve. And at the end, from youth football, playing a certain system for a longer period gives you the ins and the outs of that system, but also gives you the qualities that if a first team coach would play in a different way, in 1-4-4-2, that you are able to understand his coaching or understand his remarks, how he would like you to play. And I think that is the main system for me, from where I think that a lot of players can understand all other activities.
So you think it's crucial that the youth team and the first team will play under the same structure and under the same philosophy?
Let's say like this. I like clubs that have a culture. I like clubs that have a football culture, that have a culture not only in playing a certain style of football, but also that from the beginning of a child playing football until the end, they have the same intention. And yeah, then you are reaching back to clubs of Barcelona, Ajax, Manchester United for a certain period that want to develop their own type and style of players to play this, the style of football that fans would like to see.
You say Barcelona, Ajax. Where do you find, as a manager and as a football professional, where do you find inspiration nowadays? Where do you look and say, I like this idea and I like this idea and I want to implement this idea in my next team?
Well, there are certain coaches that you or follow on purpose or games that you watch with a certain idea. Coaches that I follow are the ones that are organized. I'm an organized coach. I'm an organized manager. I like to prepare a lot in advance so that I know that we are going in the direction where I think we can be successful, or in player development or in team development. And if I look at clubs that change a lot or that don't have a fixed culture, then you see that it goes with ups and downs. But having a philosophy, having an idea how you want to play as a team or how you want to develop players as a club, will always give you stability. And this is what I'm looking for. And in having stability in a team, it always gives you the average. So when a player is bad, he will always give you an average performance. If he is feeling fantastic, he will rise above it and it will give you the success that you need. And I think that's also something that helps players to play a good game. When everything is clear, when they know what to do or what not to do, and where their teammates are during the game, then this is something that helps them play a better game.
There is a saying about Pep Guardiola that he likes to overthink. He likes to try things in different situations. When you come into a new training week, and you have a new game ahead at the end of the week, how are you approaching the team? Are you trying to keep it as simple as possible, or are you going all in with details, analytics, data, technology? Where do you, how do you build your team for the next game?
Well, when you start the season, you start working on your general philosophy. You want to explain the players what you want to achieve and how you want to achieve it, with which style of football, and also their role in that. So for that, you have a few weeks. As soon as the season starts, the last match that you played is more or less giving you the information for the upcoming week, not only to improve the mistakes. Your analytical department is giving you already the information on the upcoming opponent.
So such as
which formation they are playing, which are the leading players, where do they want to defend, or where, how do they want to attack or build up. This gives you information on where you want to use the opportunities to attack, or where you want to steal the ball from them, so that you can have a clear counterattack. Is it high on the field, or is it lower on the field? Or are you giving them the feeling that they can build up, and you start pressing them at that moment? So this is more or less the information that you are getting. Your previous game, what went wrong, what do we need to improve? Information that maybe is not for the short term, but it's for the long term, if you play a team that plays maybe in the same formation. But also the upcoming opponent is giving you the extra information. For me, in terms of what is important, I try to build a week where I can say that I've paid attention to not only attacking, but also about defending and about switching. That's one. So that's the team performance. How do we improve the team? But also individual attention to the defenders, to the midfielders, or to the attackers.
Attacking, you've mentioned attacking several times here. Do you think that attacking is, I don't know to say if it's more important, but you have more focus on attacking and having the ball than not having the ball?
Well, again, as I said, choices that you make. I prefer to know as a coach that I've paid attention to every subject in football. And yes, in my training week, I pay more attention to defending, because I think if your team is organized in defense well, it means that you will not concede any goals. So that gives you a lot of opportunities to work, or to the switching to attacking, or the attacking in general. So yes, in a week there's more attention to defending, but to make players feel comfortable, the last day, let's say before the game, is always towards how you want to play football and how you want to attack, and which players are involved in certain situations. Because you cannot predict everything.
Yes.
So it only means that a certain number of situations, in, as I said, in the key moments in attacking or defending or switching, you can address.
You mentioned that in the beginning of a season, or when you're coming to a new team, you sit with the players and you tell them about your philosophy. This process takes, I guess, several weeks. Do you recognize already at the beginning the players, not from the technical side, but from the mental side, that you can count on? And I want also to ask you in this question, what do you think is the most important elements or traits, if we can say, a football manager must have to be successful?
Well, first of all, to answer the last part of your question, you need to have an idea how you want to play football. So you need a certain philosophy. I don't believe in that, okay, I come to a club and I will see what kind of players I have and then I will think of something. No, I think that...
You can prepare from the beginning?
Well, I think when you are invited by a club to become a coach or to become a manager, they are inviting you for certain things that you have shown in the past. So that means you are characterized as an attacking coach, or an organized coach, or an organized manager that is bringing a structure for the long term in player development. So for that, you need to have an idea how to play football. You need to be able to prepare.
You come with a plan, a written plan?
You prepare this for players, or you prepare this for coaches, to explain how you want them to work. And in due time, they will understand it, and they will, let's say, make it an automatism of them to be able to understand what you want to achieve with long-term player development in the academy, but also in short-term development of a professional first team.
Okay, so you talked about the first team. I want to take you back to the beginning of the 2020 season. You are now the manager of the first team. What are your thoughts? Tell me about how you...
Well, at that time, club didn't sign a head coach for the start of the season. The request came to me to start the season. For me, more or less, that was an opportunity to check my philosophy on first team level, and which is I was doing. So not only for myself to check the things on the highest level, but also to show the coaches of the academy that what they are doing is possible also to do at first team level. So I had for myself two tasks: to develop the players, to let them play the style of football that I like, that I prefer, but also to show the academy coaches that what they are doing is possible on any level, which I knew, but you need something to show them so that they also see, listen, what I'm doing, if I become a first team coach or if I want to be a first team coach, I can still use the elements that I'm doing now in youth football. Because more or less the things are the influence to a football session or to a football game are similar on youth level as on first team level, because it takes preparation, it takes a philosophy how you want to play football, and at the end you want the children to have fun and have a good result, because this is what you are practicing for. And this is something that was the first opportunity for me to do at the highest level. I have done it before, or at second division level in different countries. So I know it is working also in professional football. And the idea that I have about football is something you can implement at any level.
I don't want to talk specific about this season, but we talk about players. How do you address if you come to one team, for example, and you address that there is an ego or some players that have, let's say, little groups in them that you need to change their mindset? How do you change the mindset of a player from one side to another? How do you make him to commit to you as a football manager?
Well, as I said before, you want to play in a certain style. So you before the start of the season, before the start of your training process, you analyze which type of players you have and how you want to approach those players in the training process. Of course, when you read up or when you are some years already in a club, you know how players can react or how they can perform. So for me to start at zero, I didn't start at zero. I started at zero working with the players, but I didn't start at zero knowing the players. And that gives you extra information that you can use while playing and training with them. Yes, you have to not only break down maybe some egos, but you also have to stimulate that some of the egos understand you can have an attitude, but you need to perform. And that is something that is very important, that every player understands how they personally are, that they are part of a team and that the team wants to have a good success, and that they have to work together to achieve it.
You talk about organization, and you talk about the importance of organization and knowing your missions and knowing what you're going to face on the way. When you come to a new club, do you look for this organization in the team, in the management, in the high management? If you recognize that the management is not...
No, to be honest, when I'm invited, you have had some talks before. So you have explained to the people how you want to work. So that means also they invite you for this. And when I start at the club, I know what I want to achieve, because I ask certain specific questions before I start working so that I have some information. But also I ask them simply a question, put the nowadays players in the formation how I would like to play football. So right footed on the right side, left footed on the left side, other players in the middle, left or right footed. But I prefer to start from a certain organization. That's one. The second thing is that it's directly a moment of analyzing how is the balance of the team. Where do we have a problem in a certain age group, or where do you have a problem in the way you look at football in the first team? And then you slowly analyze which parts in football development they have or they don't have. And then you try to add what they don't have and you try to improve what they have.
When you say football development, you're talking about the U team or the first team or both?
More or less both.
Both.
Yeah. Yeah. So because there are still teams that maybe not have the full, let's say, structure that is needed. I always try to explain children and players, I'm not looking at the local development, I'm looking at the international development. Because that's what the players want to achieve. They want to play outside of their country. Yes. Because they want to play in the international leagues or they want to get international experience to be a better player for when they play in the national team. So this is what I'm trying to achieve also with coaches, is that we are not looking at what is here, but what we want to achieve. Where do we want to bring the players?
You mentioned the international leagues. How can you point out the differences between our league and other leagues? Because you played in the Israeli league and then you went out to the Europa League, right? Mm-hmm. And you had many difficulties from going from Israel to Europe and then come back. Was it something mentally or was something technically, or is it a combination of going to the unknown?
Well, I think the last part is important in a way of, okay, you go into the unknown in a way of you've never played a team before, but you have the opportunities to analyze them and to see videos of them. Yeah, and then it's up to the day of the game, how players are feeling and how players are able to perform. And if you play a team that, like in the Conference League, that is of a similar level, because every step that you make in a positive way, you qualify, it means you belong there. And it means also that the team that you will meet will be of a similar quality because they also achieved something.
Yes.
If you play a team like in the previous season, like Shakhtar Donetsk, yeah, then you know you're going to face a team with a lot of qualities, which also means a different approach in the tactical plan. But it doesn't mean that you have to get rid of your philosophy.
Yes.
You have to continue it, but you have to find the right moments for it and to influence the right players to make the difference. But
how do you convince the players to put aside the philosophy of what?
Well, you show them the videos, you show them where there are the opportunities, you show them the good qualities that are in the team, where we can take the advantage on them. And of course, nervousness of players or confidence of players is important in the team performance. Because, yeah, having a hole in a boat also makes you weaker.
Yes.
So a hole in the formation we don't want to achieve. So we want everybody to feel comfortable and you want everybody to be successful. Because at the end, that's what they are training for and that's what the game is for. You work for it to show Israel, to show Europe your qualities in playing football as a team and as an individual.
You've worked here also with the first team, also with the U team. From all of your experience and all of your insights about the Israeli football, do you think that we are in the place, in the position that we belong to?
First of all, what I said for years already is that I think there's a lot of football talent in Israel. Doesn't matter which team I see, I always see some talented, some interested players. The same I see in the highest professional league or in the second division or in the third division, there are still talented players in Israel. So what does it do to the country? I think, yeah, there needs to be a step up in opportunities for players and opportunities in getting the maximum of development. I always hear army is a problem. I don't recognize that as being a problem because
see the army as a problem that stops the
well, most of the players that I spoke to on different levels always managed to
sneak out of the mission.
Well, not to sneak out, but to organize that they are able to train.
Yes.
And if you have the right mentality, you will find a way to train. And not even being with your club, but because you have the willpower to become a professional football player, then it shouldn't interfere. I think that Israel as a country, federation, ministry needs to look at, okay, what kind of opportunities we are giving to children, what kind of facilities I also think that club owners need to look at that. What kind of facilities are we giving? Because still youth football development gives you the benefit if you have these talented players for your team or for any future sale, let's say, towards Europe. But I think that there is talent in Israel and that needs to be organized and needs to be shaped in a more professional way, that there are more opportunities for the national teams to achieve success, but also for the main national team to qualify for one of the tournaments.
I see. But can you point, let's say, three things that we need to change in the mindset of the Israeli football so we can go up another level?
Well, I think what I said, the facilities need to improve. It's something that makes playing football easier and which a lot of children in Europe have from a young age. Here you see sometimes children play football, which is not in the ideal situation, which can give them an advantage, but not always. Then I think that the federation is making a good development in the coaches' education. And I think that next to that, clubs need to look at, okay, all the professional things that are part of a player, football development, we need to organize. It's not only playing football. It's supporting the player in off the field with video analysis, with mental coaching, or with information about what is the best way for eating habits, etc. These are things that clubs need to take more responsibility. What I noticed a lot in Israel is that a lot of children find those things, or a lot of parents try to find a mental coach or a fitness coach or another football coach outside.
Yes.
Where I think that the responsibility is with the clubs to make sure that you know that where is your player educated? It's with you. And not outside by somebody else that is telling him maybe different things.
You think it can hurt the young player, his development, when he's going to a team and then going to a mental coach or a...
Well, I think it's...
Someone from the outside?
The highest professional leagues should be able to control this development by themselves. And they should be making everything possible. And if you don't work well as a coach, let's say if you don't make the player tired... then he will find it somewhere else to become tired, because the boys are not lazy. The boys want to play football, but we need to organize it in one direction so that the player has a higher chance of reaching a professional status because of his football qualities, but also that he can always look in the mirror and say, listen, I did everything for it to achieve it. It was successful. It was successful for a few years, or it was not successful. But we need to give them the professionalism from a club point of view.
Yes.
And this is something that I always try to do when I work at clubs, to give them all the opportunities within the club, because I think it's the responsibility of the club.
I agree.
And from a young age, because also under 9, under 10 or under 11, we can say, yes, it's still far away. Yes, they don't need to experience video analysis like a first team every day or before or after this session. But they should understand that this is part of football, to see themselves play football and to see them make a fantastic thing or to make a mistake. It's part of it in feeling comfortable that coaches are explaining you to improve yourself as a football player.
I don't know if you saw it. I think it was 2 months ago. There was a video that's running on the social networks of a youth manager on the lines, shouting like crazy on the children and pushing them to win in a way that I think I never saw it. Do you think it's important that the children and the youth teams will play in leagues and try to accomplish winnings and trophies, or do you think that we are looking at this from a wrong point of view?
No, I think that children, if they are 7 or 8 years old, they need to feel when they win and when they lose. I think it's part of the football development. I don't believe in only starting with leagues from when they are 14 or 15. I think in some countries it can be too late. in smaller countries, I believe that you need to start looking at it from a younger age so that the children get this extra experience, because otherwise they are, let's say, behind the children of the same age in other countries. So yes, I believe in that children need to feel when they win, when they lose. So standing in the league for under 8, under 9, I don't mind. I also, of course, think that managers of academies need to instruct their coaches how they want, let's say, the club coaches to behave, so that you don't get the situations of coaches shouting. I prefer coaches to assist players and asking them a question when it's the right moment, or to give them the opportunities to take a decision. At the end, when you have to shout as a coach, you're too late.
Of course. So you think that that a club or managers or analyst team can spot a kid or a youth player with winning mentality at young age, like 8, 9, 11, something like that?
Of course. If you have a player of 9 years old that is every day, 1 hour before the session, already shooting the ball and is asking, can I train tomorrow with the under 10 or so, then you know that you have a boy that wants to improve and that wants to become better. The same mentality you recognize in games. Not that it needs to go into fighting because he wants to win. No, that he's showing that he's giving his everything on the field to make a good result possible for his team.
We talked about technology in the beginning for the first team. You think it should be implemented to the youth and the under 11, 12?
What is
it? Technology.
Technology, yes.
Like GPS, cameras,
no. Well,
analyze.
The GPS, I think that as a club, and this is what we're trying to build, is that you need to have some numbers. How far an under 14 player or how far an under 15 player or first team player can reach, it can help you in your football philosophy on which day you want more or higher performance, a higher physical performance, and on which day you want a lower performance so that they can still peak during the game. This is what you are trying to build in an academy, so that you can give the information to a youth coach that he should never say, oh, they were tired, but the numbers say that they were not supposed to be tired. So
yeah,
it's a different perspective of looking at your player. So yes, I think where possible, and of course the younger they are, give them at some moments the notion of that this is also part of football.
It pushes them, right? The young players, when they have
players, it pushes in a way of they like to see themselves.
Yes. Yeah.
And older players, experienced players, or players, let's say, from 16 years old turning into professional players, it is important to use every opportunity to become better, to see your numbers, compare it to other players, or compare it to other players in the same line, because a defender at some moments does less than an attacker when it's a more an exercise for an attacking players. The same with midfielders, so that you are knowing, what did I achieve? Do I need to do something extra after the session? It can come from the player, but it can also come from the physical coach or the team coach to say, listen, I want this player to do something extra because he's coming back from an injury, or he only played a part of the game, or he didn't play at all. Still to keep everybody at the same level. So yes, I think from a young age to stimulate the players and make them aware that it's there, and at a professional age that they need to use this information for their own development.
You've worked with two players that went overseas. It's Dor Peretz and Jonathan Cohen. And now that we know that Manor Solomon is moving to Fulham, but we see Peretz, for example, and Jonathan struggle in the Italian league, struggle a lot. They do not play, and we look at Manor Solomon, that he is now actually the only prodigy in the Israeli national team. Why do you think that we struggle to move from our league or from Israel in general to the top four or top 10 leagues? What changed? Why are we so behind?
I don't think in a negative way that players are behind. I think that the players that go abroad have the qualities to be abroad. It's maybe not always that they go to the right team to get the opportunity to play frequently, like they are used to in Israel, to play every week. And internationally in Europe, they select more players in teams and more foreign players. If you go to Europe, Italy or Holland is already not only Italian or Dutch players, it's all European Union players. So it's already all players are of the same level. So yes, you need to get the opportunity to get used to the league every week and not once in once in a while. But I think the players mentioned by you have the qualities to play in Europe.
And they should stay in Europe, even if they struggle, from your opinion?
Well, you cannot give up too easy in this way. They went there for a reason. So I think also that you need to give yourself the time to adjust to it. But also to analyze every time the situation, if you are happy with it, if you are ready to fight, then you are ready for everything. But if you want to play every week, then that could be a different idea about what you want to do in the next season or in the coming years.
You talked about if you are ready to fight. You've been in football for more than the half of your life, right? 30 years, something like that, maybe.
Well,
more.
From 16 being in professional football clubs, yes.
And I believe you had many struggles as a player, but also as a manager in the youth academy level and the first team academy level. Can you tell me about some struggles that you have and you had to face them, and how did you face them as a manager? How do you take a breakdown in your relationship with the team or something like that, and how do you heal it?
Let's say like this. I always think that you have to believe in your own qualities, be it as a football player, work on those qualities. If you are a substitute, you're coming on the field, show that you are able to play at that level. If you are not frequently playing, okay, then you need to show your coaches that you are interested and able to improve yourself. And you have to ask them to assist you in that. As a manager, it's the same. You will always have people that question the way you want to develop an academy. And this comes from people that or got kicked out or that are still working in the academy but have to work harder now. So you will always have persons around you or behind that cause you a difficulty. But you have to believe in what you are doing. For me to keep believing in what I'm doing in academy development or first team development is to keep developing myself, but not to forget what I've done in the past. So everything that I'm now doing or learning or watching or reading, let's say like this, I'm adding to what I'm doing. But I keep believing in the way I look at football. If you have to react to people let's say questions of journalists, why you play with the right footed on the right side and a left footed on the left side, if you switch them around, then it's better. And if you do that, then I have nothing to complain. But if you play with two right-footed players, they already don't know what to ask you. If you play with two left-footed players, they don't know what to ask you. So there's always something that they will complain. Journalists, yes. Managers, people from outside of the club, former coaches. Don't look at it. Pay attention to what you have in mind. Pay attention and try to convince the people that you are working with that you are the right person to not only for the moment, but also for the long term. Because this is one of the things that makes a person successful is to get the time to really work on your philosophy and your ideas.
Do you think that the press have something to do with the culture of the football in the nation? Because I know, for example, that Pep Guardiola, for example, he doesn't like the Spanish press, but he likes the English press. He thinks that they are more professional and they give him more insights and they respect him more. And I read somewhere that he has an idea that the Spanish press is lowering down the culture of football. Do you think it has a connection? Do you agree with this
Well, I think theory? I think that the perspective of a journalist needs to be to analyze football. If you are, let's say, a sports journalist that is focused on football, then you need to be able to think and speak like a coach, because you want to ask him tactical questions.
Yes.
And not to rely on things you hear or around the team or from the locker room. I think that you need to be able to analyze football and to ask questions. And to recognize, for example, something specific the coach did during the game, or not did during the game, which you thought maybe could be. This is an interesting discussion, and this would be, how to say it, maybe the differences in as you mentioned by Guardiola, that maybe the Spanish press is looking more for the incidents, yes, in the team, and the English press is maybe approaching it more. How did you play football? Why it's not successful in this way, and why you're successful in this league or whatever.
I see. You are now at a, can I say, a crossroad at your career after 6 years in Israel. The first question is, are you satisfied from your career until this point? And the second question is, what's next?
Well,
what are your dreams? Do you dream to coach the national team for Dutch?
I'm satisfied with the development of my career in football. I think that I achieved that. Now I'm not in a crossroad. I'm let's say hungry to start again and to make a new start, being it as a coach or as a manager. This is the last part of my work in Israel. Is getting the opportunity to become a head coach, which door I never closed, but which was always open for me when the right opportunity would come. Because for that also, you educate yourself, you take your pro license, not just to waste some money. So, I'm looking at what could be the next step. I'm very interested in the coaching. Yes, it takes a lot of time to prepare the team, to prepare your training sessions, to think ahead of all the games that are coming, which, let's say, personal contact with the team you have less as a manager, because you are taking care of coaches that they can play football, that they have the players, that they have the fields, that they have the time, that there are the people around it available. But as a team coach, you are responsible for that team, and you need to manage that team, which is a very interesting part in football. So yes, the crossroads are there to start a new project, and it depends on what requests will come.
I see. Well, by the way, you look at the manager role as something is a high hierarchy. There is a manager, and there are the coaches, and there are the players. This is
the structured way of, for me, at looking at a club, because a sport director, yes, in my perspective, needs to look at the football philosophy of the club, the culture that's in the club. That means also to influence not only the first team but a reserve team or an academy. So making those people that work there also aware of what the club wants to achieve. As an academy manager, okay, when you have a task from above, you need to make sure that it's organized at the highest possible way. And if you are a head coach, yeah, you also have an assignment to do, to qualify, to play, and to develop players, to make it possible for the club to earn money with international games or with player transfers, which also are interesting then to look again what kind of talents are coming. So this is the organized way for me looking at football. Very clinical in a way of, okay, yes, what is possible, what needs to be done, and then to work with it as a coach or as a manager.
And you think that we are in the right direction in the Israeli Premier League, that many teams are going in this direction, the organized way, the sports director, manager, coaches, players, the hierarchy?
I think that Israel is on the way. Yes, I've seen a huge change, let's say, in the 6 years that I'm in Israel, in football development, in youth football, in second division football, in Premier League football, let's say like this. The thing that is still a little bit lacking is the development of the player category between 18 and 21, yes. Let's say like this. And this is something that needs to be done, but also not only be done by the federation, but also the belief of the clubs that they need this, because not every player is ready as 18. Not every player gets the opportunity still to continue at the same high quality that he received in the academy. So I think that is an important part in Israeli football that needs to be further developed. And they're always speaking, they're always thinking about it, but it doesn't make the final step. And I think that it needs to be. The federation is aware of it. I think that the clubs are aware of it. Financially, maybe it's not always possible, but I think that we need to create opportunities in Israel for children to continue a professional football development between 18 and 21, because there you lose a lot of players and players lose interest because yes. There is not the same attention that they had in youth football. And it's not the same attention maybe they would get if they would be with the first team. But again, saying in the start of my talk with you guys, is that there is a lot of talent. And this talent needs to be used to make Israel look better internationally.
You talk about talent. There are players like Eddie Guerrero and Oscar Gloch, Nadav Nidam, Bar Cohen, Noam Cohen, Ido Shachar, players that went through your youth academy player team. Two questions. First, are you proud if you feel achievement when you see them at the first team? And the second question is, you talked about the 6 years of change in the Israeli football. Do you feel that many clubs or managers took inspiration from the guys, from the work of you guys at Maccabi Tel Aviv, you and Jordi and everybody else?
I don't know. This you have to ask other people. I always think that you influence also others when you come in and you start with your philosophy. The names mentioned by you are the names that I have a connection with in a way of that they were part of the system. I think that not only those players, but in other clubs there are still a lot of talented players that have also the opportunity to reach professional football. And I think that there is quality and there are opportunities, and there should be opportunities created to increase the level of Israeli football.
And you are, again, as we said at the beginning, in Israel. Can I ask you in the most frank way, are we going to see you in Israel in the coming season? Do you believe so?
For now, there is no opportunity. So let's see what the future brings from me. There will be opportunities for sure. I believe in what I'm doing. I've shown that I'm capable of doing it, so everything will be okay with me. Don't worry.
Something personal. At the beginning, I also told Ozir that it was when I approached you at the beginning, you didn't want to talk, but we talked a little bit, and at the end, you came here. So I wanted to ask you two questions. First, how do you feel about this is the first time you are a guest in a podcast, right?
Correct. And that's why I agreed with you, so that I could have the experience, so that if in future it happens, then I know what's going on.
And this experience, you think after 1 hour of talk made a good impression on you? You like this feeling of talking about football?
To speak about football, you normally do with the people that you are or working with, or yes. with the friends that you have in football. So to do it in a relaxed environment like this in a podcast, it's a good experience. And what I said, it's the first one, so I need to be open for new things. So this was the first step in this.
I'm really happy that you came here. I wanted to ask you some last question about I'm going out of Israel, out of your career. We are looking now at the World Cup is coming in Qatar. I don't want to ask you about Qatar because I know there is many issues around the World Cup in Qatar, but can you think of the winner from your point of view of the World Cup?
No, but I think World Cups or European Cups give you always the feeling that you support your own country. So
you're capable, the Netherlands, you think?
I think that we are capable. And as I said, when everybody thinks in the same direction and has the same goal, I think the Netherlands can go a long way. So yes, I'm looking forward to seeing the Netherlands play in the World Cup. Yeah.
You told me at the beginning that you know personally Erik ten Hag, and he is now the new manager of Manchester United. Do you think that he will succeed where many failed before him?
Listen, I think that that he, let's say like this, knowing him very well, I don't want to say, but we grew up in the same way.
Yes.
From youth football, from younger football.
You're the same age.
Being,
yes.
In under 12, under 13 development. At that time, he in FC Twente, me at Feyenoord. So we were involved in the same, let's say, football development. So yes, I think that also he grew up after his playing career into being an organized coach, having an idea how he wants to play football, making different steps to further develop himself, going into Germany, etc. So these are the things that let's say we have in common, that we started at the same time, the same part, same age groups, and that both of us made our development into professional football for a long period already.
For the closure, we have many young players, followers that are listening to this podcast, will listen to this podcast, also many managers to be. What can you tell them? What is your mantra as a manager, as a professional, that you can give them an advice, a mantra, something they can take to improve themselves and reach the higher level, the highest level they can achieve?
Well, to players, I would like to say, listen, find all the opportunities within your club. Ask for it. Ask for extra training or coaching opportunities. If you have a question about football, if you have done something that you didn't like or you liked, ask the coach why he demanded that from you, so that you are always making progress in football. Make sure that if the club doesn't give you the opportunities, that you are finding opportunities that go in the same direction, not in a different direction. And of course, to managers, keep believing in yourself, keep believing in what you are doing. I think that if you are believing in it, you will, how to say it, transfer it to the people that you are working with, and to make sure that nobody changes your ideas about football. Only make sure that you can never point the finger at yourself that you didn't do enough for it.
I think this is a strong message. Coach, Mr. Patrick Van Nieuwen, thank you very much for coming here. It was a pleasure talking to you. And for the followers, thank you for being with us, and we will see you next chapter.